Good morning. I'm so delighted to be here again for the second time. I remember 2 years ago I was here, and thank you so much for your warm welcome and for your hospitality. Thank you for my brother Sandy and Drew Vest for hosting me. It's a blessing, and many appreciations for the prayers and support that you have been doing for the work of the Diocese of Kibondo. The support of computers, the 15 pieces of computer we got for the school are still working, and we thank God for that, but also for the support on the health center, and for the wonderful work you are doing through Raheli Trust. We thank God so much for the work of the Holy Spirit worldwide, who is drawing more people to Christ every day. We also thank God for church growth in the Diocese of Kibondo. This year we had a very successful children's and youth camps, and a very encouraging diocesan synod, and through which we learned about the significant growth of the church in both spiritually and numerically. For example, the diocese has grown from 10 deaneries to 11, 30 parishes to 37, and 70 congregations to 96, and we have 80 catechists to 144 for 4 years, and we have over 26,000 Anglican members, and many people are coming to faith every day, including Muslims. We really thank God for his work and for the Holy Spirit to make this possible. I just want to bring many greetings from the Diocese of Kibondo, my family, and especially my wife Betty. They all send their love to you. This morning, they were praying for us. As you may know, we have three hours difference, and we are ahead of you, so by then they have already finished. Now, before I turn to the Word of God, just want to pray, and then I will share the Word of God. Loving God, Heavenly Father, how grateful to know you, and especially this morning as we come before you. Speak to us through your Word, and open our hearts and ears to be able to hear your word and be able to live the way that you have called us to live. In Jesus' name, amen. As we all know, today is the Sunday of Advent, the first Sunday of four Sundays before Christmas. And in most of the churches, we have a tradition of lighting the candle that we had just had them written off, and we thank God for that. Advent is a season of expectant waiting and a preparation for the celebration of the coming of Jesus Christ at Christmas Day. The word Advent comes from Latin word Adventus, which simply means coming. It is a translation of the Greek word parousia, which was commonly used to refer to the second coming of the Messiah. Many Christians today observe the season of Advent from two perspectives. One is a time of expectant waiting and the preparation for Jesus' coming on Christmas Day, which is good news of salvation to the whole, to the world, and especially to all who will be ready to welcome him into their lives. But as we read in 1 John, the verses 11 to 12, it is evident that when he came, some people did not receive him. To all who did receive him were given grace to become his sons and daughters. As we read, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. I believe this is why we are here, all of us today, because Jesus is our Lord and Savior. We are his sons and daughters who believes in his name, aware that he came for our sins to be a sacrifice for us and the whole world. The second perspective is the fact that Jesus' coming stands as a reminder, a warning, an alert for his coming the second time to judge the world. This is very important so that Christians may be prepared and ready for his coming, which will be quite difficult if our ways are not well prepared. As we all know, many Christians today tend to pay a lot of attention to the celebration of his first coming and they forget the real meaning of his second coming. This, the disciples of Jesus asked him, and in the beginning of the chapter 24, they said in verse 3, "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming on the end of ages?" Jesus said, Jesus warned them, "Watch that no one deceives you." And he goes on to list all the signs of the end time before he comes back to judge the world. He said that many people will come in my name and they will deceive many. You will hear of war and the rumors of war. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine, earthquake in various places. You will be hated by the world because of me, you will be persecuted and put to death. Many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. And because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who will stand firm to the end will be saved. I believe we are all here aware that most of these things must happen before he comes. Jesus made clear that these things must happen, but we need not to worry if we are standing firm and remain faithful to the end. In September, we had an earthquake in northern western Tanzania. 17 people died, and over 100 were injured, and many houses were completely destroyed. Two of our diocesan houses were badly damaged. And in verse 21st, Jesus says, "For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again." This is indeed what is happening now and yet to come. The world is facing many challenges, too many distresses. There is civil war in Iraq, Iran, Syria, Yemen. Islam State and Boko Haram create terror. In many countries, refugees are flooding in, not least due to poor leadership in Africa. In the Kibondo area only, we have 70,000 refugees from Burundi have arrived since last year. Many false prophets, especially in Africa, are deceiving many people with the prosperity gospels. Jesus is warning us to stand firm and be alert. See what he says. At that time, if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Messiah," or "he is, do not believe it. For the false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Jesus is warning us today that without his grace, and even Christian may be deceived and walk away from the faith. This is true. We need to be very careful as we live our daily lives. We need the Holy Spirit gifts of discernment to help us to identify the truth prophets, and so keep doing good work to the end. In verse 30 to 35, Jesus encourages his disciples by saying, "After all these things are past, the Son of Man will come in power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four wings, from one end of the heavens to the other. What a victory for all who will keep watch, be faithful servants, and stand firm to the end. Jesus is will gather his elect for the last judgment. Will you and I be among the elect? Remember, heaven and the earth will pass away, But the word of God will never pass away. Verse 35. Looking at our reading today, it stands as a conclusion to the chapter as a whole, to emphasize and or highlight the key points. We need to watch, be ready, faithful, rather than counting days or time. What is needed is not about days or time when Jesus will come, but as we observe these signs happening in our world, we need to be ready for him before it is too late. See what he says, I have told you ahead of time. Isn't it true that sometimes we forget to listen to him and find ourselves in difficult times? Can you think of something you were warned not to do, and only you did listen, you didn't listen, and got into trouble as a result? Let me share one recent sad example. When I was in Germany 4 weeks ago, visiting our missionary partners, I received a very sad news that 3 of our secondary school children had just been drowned in a lake. They lost their lives because they got into the water, even though they were warned before they went there and told how extremely dangerous it was to try to go into the lake. It was very shocking news. And the first question which came to my mind was to ask, what happened? What precautions were taken before? In fact, the teachers had done their best and they warned all the children, but these 3 did not want to listen. As a result, they lost their lives and they caused us great pain at the end. The last 3 verses in this paragraph, 42 to 44, says, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at the hour when you do not expect him. This is good news for us today. If we listen, obey, we will be fine. Any day he will come. This is a strong statement. You must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. It is more than a warning, it is a command. You must be ready. What kind of preparation do we have as we prepare for his second coming? It is fine to celebrate his first coming, looking for good Christmas gifts for your loved ones, and putting your Christmas decorations. That is good. But the big question is, what does Advent mean for the future? I believe it is to put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of right. And most importantly, to clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ before he comes the second time to judge the world. We do this through love, compassion, service to one another. Think of many people who do not have anything. Can you make this Christmas to be a blessing to needy people around you and worldwide? Please ask the Holy Spirit to lead you in your preparation for his coming. Let us pray. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the work of darkness and put on our armor of light. Now, in the time of this mortal life in which your Son Jesus Christ came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glory, majesty, to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal. Amen.